Okay, Yishkoch, it's an amazing privilege. You know, I went to Or Yerushalayim. The dream of an Or Yerushalayim student is to one day have the chance to even walk into Shalavim. And the fact that I'm here giving a shiur, Mom, I made it. Baruch Hashem, really, you know, that you guys taking care of Yisrael really is such a wonderful thing. And to the Rebbeim, it's an amazing and incredible program. And everyone I meet, one after the other, we spend some time together. I'm so impressed with everybody here. And it's a testament both to your families and to the program. And that partnership is an incredible partnership. So I was thinking, what would I say if I could talk to me back in yeshiva? Right? Now me standing out, looking back in. And I would say, you're going to be frustrated because many years from now, you're going to go to that shelf and you're going to pull out the Gemara, Psachim, and whatever the sugya you were learning, and you're going to wonder why you don't remember any of it. And you're going to go back and you'll try to reclaim your notes. I bound my notes from yeshiva. And you're going to look back at it, and you're going to try to piece it together and wonder why it's not clear in your mind. You don't have it exactly right there. So hypothetically, you could look back and say, what effectively are we doing? What do I take away from this if the specifics of what I'm learning may or may not be retained? And it's a question in education as a whole, but certainly while you're here in yeshiva. So I'd like to make the case that there are three parts that are essential elements of your growth and transformation that if you do it right, will stay with you for the rest of your lives. And I'd like to frame this conversation with a haunting piece from the Rebbe of Piasetzna, the Eish Kodesh. In one of his final essays, the Eish Kodesh says, Boel Paro, Ulamanta Saper is Alalti b'Mitzrayim Yadatem ki ani Hashem. Right? He's telling Moshe, you gotta go to Paro because I hardened his heart. And listen to what the Rebbe says. Now understand, this is near the end. The Rebbe does not have much left. He's lost everybody around him. Eich yityaser. Halo ein lo bechira. How could Paro at this point be afflicted? How could there be any test whatsoever? The bechira was taken from him. V'yadatim ki ani Hashem gamalo bechira yachol Paro. What's the point of all this? He writes, Yeser dvarenu beze einu zocher. The saddest words to end the drush I've ever seen. I don't remember the rest of my thoughts on this. He had a mahalach. He had an approach how to understand what God was doing to Paro. If he hardened his heart, then what's the expectation? Yeser dvarenu beze eini zocher. The rest of my remarks on this, I don't remember. So I'd like to put that aside. And we're going to come back to the Rebbe and see if we can today perhaps help the Rebbe recall what he was trying to say. The first skill that you build in yeshiva, that if you do it right, will stay with you the rest of your lives, that cannot be duplicated, replicated anywhere else. The framework and the beginning foundation is what you call in modern English, the grind. But let me clarify what that means. Tehillim Nun Aleph is the following. Vo'elov nasan anavi kasher ba'al basheva. This is the moment when David HaMelech is realized, what have I done? I've just committed this horrible act. Chaneini Elokim kechasdecha kerov rachamecha mechei b'shoi. Please forgive me, Hashem. Erase my sins. Herev kapseini ma'avoni ma'chatasi tareini. Ki p'sha'ai ani eida. I know my negligence. V'chatasi negdi tamin. My sins in front of me at all times. Please, ba'avon chalalti. I was fashioned and created in sin. U'b'chait yichmasni imi. And I was conceived by my mother that way. Understand, this is how I was designed. Techateini be'ezo v'tayr. Purge me of my sin by cleaning me with a hyssop. Techapseini. Clean me u'misheleg albin. And I'll be white as snow. And he continues, save me, hatzileni medabim, save me from blood. Chuasi Taranen, save me. Hashem Sosai Tiftach, open my lips. I have korbanos, lev nishbar. Az tich pachpat zivchei tzedek, korbanos of righteousness. The whole flow is off. It starts off where King David said, I'm terrible. I was born this way. Please clean me. And then he starts saying, save me from blood. I have korbanos. Says the Malbim, David HaMelech's request to make me white as snow is a funny request. Anybody know when a azov is used, a hyssop is used? It's used by Taras HaMetzora, the leper. When you're white as snow, the Mishnayos and the Goyim tell you that's not a good thing. White as snow means this guy's in trouble. That's Taras. So what was David's request? Make me white as snow. I understand white's a metaphor for cleanliness. Don't use it in the context of Azov. In the context of Azov, it means one thing. It means tsaras. That's the kash of the Malbim. So I'd like to suggest the following approach to this parak of Tehillim. Great Gemara of Arizar, Yudzayin, and Aleph of Elazar ben Dardaya, where the Gemara tells us of Elazar ben Dardaya that he committed every sin. And he was on his way, Bekarche Ayam, out to the islands to commit his greatest sin of all. When all of a sudden he was reminded in a moment of what he was about to do by the woman he was with. And she says to him, you're not going back up to Shemayim. And he broke down. And he ran around and he ran to the heavens and the earth to daven for him. He went to the mountains and the straits. He went to the trees and the forest. Each one said, don't come to us. We got our own issues. Nothing we could help you with. Finally, he realizes, Ein hadavar tali elabi. It's only up to me. He puts his head in his lap. He lets out a great cry, and he expires. The Gemara finishes by telling us that his name is changed from Elazar ben Dardaya to Rebbe Elazar ben Dardaya. That yesh kone olamo b'sha'achas. Some people acquire their world to come in just a moment, in just 1 minute. He acquired his world to come in just that minute, and his life was given out. Says Rav Kook, says the Kotzker, says many other thinkers. And the Malbim in his commentary alludes to this. There are two tracks a person could take. There's the track where you can get it all done in one shot. One shot, you could literally kill yourself over it. And that's what he did. Elazar ben Dardaya put everything into that moment and it was all over. There was no life to be led after that. King David thought at the beginning, that's what's going to have to happen here. Give me tsaras. Because the Gemara says, Metzora chashev kameis. A leper is considered like dead. King David thought he was going to have to take the first track. Shock therapy. Shock treatment. Kill me and wipe me out. And by the time he's getting to the second half of the Tehillim, he realizes and recognizes, that's not for me. The path for me is step by step. Rung after rung. That's how a person grows. That's why he says, Heim ba'avon chalati. He says, save me, hatzileni medamim. Save me from blood. Meaning, I'm not going to take the death route. I'm going to go the other route. Kapara, tshuva, step by step, growth. That's the way it works. That's what you take from yeshiva. That you'll never be able to replicate at this level because this is where you learned how to do it first. How to really dig in. The Shulchan Aruch tells you, after you put on talis, you put on tefillin. Why? Because Milim B'Kodesh, you go up in Kedusha. The No Divi Yehuda says, but wait a second. What about Kol HaMakudesh Mechavero Kodem Eschavero? The Gemara in Zvachim, the Mishnayos tell us that whatever's holier comes first. Kol HaMakudesh Mechavero Kodem Eschavero. So why are you going Milim? Which one is it? Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank says there's two types of mitzvahs. One is external and one is on the person. When it's on the Gavra, on the person, you go step by step. That's how you grow. It's not going to happen in one shot. You're going to have to put in the work. Great teaching. Gemara in Avodah Zarah 5b tells us, Lo nachis inish adaite derabe ad arba shonin. A person will never get to the level to understand their teacher until 40 years have passed. Lo nachis inish adaite derabe ad arba shonin, says Rav Kook in one of his letters. He says, you learn from here that it's not a good thing to chop the Rebbe too quickly. I chopped shir right away today. I got it. That's not a good thing. It's the opposite. You need to take time. You need to let it sit. We've lost that ability nowadays. You know that our minds have been killed to the point where we can't focus for long periods of time and let thoughts just grow and sit and begin to ferment and turn into something beautiful. But Rav Kook says the Gemara is telling you. That's about Moshe Rabbeinu. It couldn't happen in one shot. It had to happen over time. So the first idea that you learned here, the first skill set that you learned while in yeshiva, is the skill set of the grind. And the grind takes time. And it's difficult. It's nuanced. Rav Mendel Vorker, the great Hasidic master, he was known as the Rebbe of quiet, silence. We only have 8 teachings from him. And this is one. It's amazing. The Gemara in Shabbos, Dalet Amud Beis, says that when Shlomo HaMelech instituted Erev Chatzeres, and Netilas Yadayim, a voice went out and said, Pasuk in Mishlei, Bini, im chacham libech yismach libi gamani, that Hashem was so happy about his genius. Why these two things? Erev Chatzeres and Netilas Yadayim. They're nice, but why these two? Says Rav Mendel Vorker, because Erev allows people to be mishtatef with each other, to carry a soup from one home to the other in the same apartment building. What is Netilas Yadayim? It's washing, it's kedusha, it's separation. The essence of Judaism is learning how to figure out what's the balance. Bringing everyone together and understanding when you need time to think, understanding when you need space. The kedusha separation and the eruv, which is joining together. Part of that grind is learning and developing a very difficult thing, and that is balance. Balance is not easy. How the mitzvahs were meant to be balanced, how to create a life and a framework of mitzvahs that will fit for the rest of your life, that is not easy. I'll tell you something amazing. Pasuk in Mishlei says, Sasa nochi alim raseich kemotzei shalal rav, that we rejoice over your teachings, Hashem, like you know, plunders of war, like things you find in war. So what does it mean, sasanochi? What's that word, sasanochi? The rejoicing of Torah. So says the Vilna Gaon, simcha sheyesh tuga acharav. It's a joy that has like a tuga, means like a, there's something unfulfilling about it. What does that mean? Torah is so great, there's a joy that's unfulfilling about it. So the Chafetz Chaim explained it with an amazing mashal. It's incredible. I will modernize it a little bit. King was winning all these wars. Very powerful king, and suddenly it started to turn. He lost 3 or 4 battles in a row, and he met with his cabinet, and they said to him, we're going to have to do something quickly. This is not going to work. We're in trouble here. He said, what are we to do? They said, you're going to have to bring back the general. But he retired 15 years ago. He's on his farm somewhere up north. How are we going to even get to this guy? They go, we have no other choice. Bring him back. The king saddles up and gets on some horses. They go out to the farm and they find him. He's a much different man now. The framework of his body is large, but the hair now is long and gray. His back is a little hunched, and now he's working the earth. And they turn and they say, we need you back out there. Say, I'm done. Those days are long gone. The king turns to them and says, I'll make you a deal. I know you have debts on this field. So every battle you fight and win, you can keep anything you want from that win until sunset. He looks around at his field. He realizes he's got a family now. He says, all right, count me in. He goes into his living room, takes out all the old weapons, saddles up and joins out to battle. And boy, does he win. He gets out there at the end of that first battle and he looks at his clock and he realizes time is running out and he's trying to gather everything he can. Says the Chafetz Chaim, that's what the Vilna Gaon meant. It's amazing. It's enjoyable. Every minute that you're learning, everything that you're hopping up is incredible. But at the end of it, you know, you won't scratch the tip of the iceberg. No matter how far in you go, no matter how much you learn, no matter how much you review and do chazara and over again, you won't even get to one iota of the beauty and the Yama Torah and how much is out there. That's an incredible experience. That's what the grind is about also. That you're working and working and working, knowing there'll never be a completion at the end. It'll never be fully over once you get to any space, once you get to any stop. There's another part to this grind. You have to know that you are not the sum total of what you already know. You're also very much about what you can one day know, your potential, what you can get to. What you can get to. It says, Va'avram v'sara zakenim ba'im b'yomim. The Zohar says, ba'im b'yomim. They came with their days. right? Sounds like every one of their days was perfect. They had each one of their days they used, they made the most of. How's that possible? Avram grew up in a house of Avodah Zarah. No. The Zohar says, basically straight out, the Zohar says, even those days were used. That was Boim B'yamim. You're going to take every one of those days, your failures, the days when you look back and said, I should have spent more time learning this. I should have spent more time reviewing with that Rebbe. I should have spent more time. All of those pieces will come together to coalesce, to help you become the sum total of who you're going to be. All those nights that you spent rewriting down your notes, trying to understand a piece when everybody left because they already understood it. That's Boim B'yamim. The Lubavitcher Rebbe has such a beautiful insight on the mitzvah of chinuch. Midaraisa, there are many who say there is no such a mitzvah of chinuch, of, you know, that you have to be, educate your children towards the mitzvah. There are many who hold there's no mitzvah deraisa of chinuch. So says the Lubavitcher Rebbe the following thought, if there's no deraisa mitzvah of chinuch, then we have a problem. How are you supposed to, in a world, what did the Torah expect of you then? The second you turn bar mitzvah, how are you supposed to know how to put on tefillin? We know because we have a mitzvah of chinuch, call it derabanan, call it deraisa, we educate you, so on and so forth. But what did the Torah expect? From the Torah's vantage point, what did the Torah expect? Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Torah expected you to fail on day one. The Torah expected you to fail again on day two, and day three, and day four. And every day get better and better at the mitzvah, till you became the person you are. Those failures, those mistakes, they're all part of the effort. They're all part of the effort. Share with you from Malachim Beis, then I got to move on to the next idea. The end of Elisha's life, the Navi Elisha, is a very powerful teaching. Knowing that he's going to die soon, Elisha, he orders Melech Yoash to come with him with a bow and an arrow. And he places his own hands over the king's hands that are holding the bow and arrow. And he tells the king, because the king's been losing one after the other. The king has been suffering a lot of setback here. And Elisha says, gather the arrows and hit the ground with them. And he does it three times. He says, but why'd you stop? Elisha looks at him and says, why'd you stop? He says, I don't know. I felt like that was it. That's all I had. And Elisha says, you'll be successful three times. But after that, you will fall. And lo and behold, those three arrows symbolize three great victories. But after that, he was finished. Yoash defeated Aram three times, just as Elisha said. What's the message of this story? The message of this story is that part of the grind is recognizing you always have one last arrow. You think you're finished. You think you tapped out. You think that's it. I got what I can from this sugya. I got what I can from this Rebbe. I got what I can from this chavrusa. I've learned as much as I can. It's time for me to do this now in life and put that behind. There's always one last arrow. It's what made Rabbi Akiva greater than almost anybody else. Because at an age when anybody would have given up after what he had been through, he had every right to go to a retirement home, sit out on a beach and say, it's over. I've lost everything. It's devastation. Rabbi Akiva did not give up. And with a few Talmidim, he built the future of Judaism. Us today are all here because of that schus of someone who understood you always have one last arrow. You always have one last shot. Avram had 10 tests. Va'amud b'kulam, he stood through all of them. Amazing. Says Rav Tzvi Kluger, the great contemporary Breslov thinker. He says, everybody thinks that Avram had 10 tests, so his life was good life, good life, good life. Hung out with these people, hung out with those people. Boom, test. Did it, passed it. Next, good life, good life, good life, fine. Test number two, nailed it. Go on to the third. It's not like that. He says, when someone has tests like Avram, it swallows up your whole life. You think Avram ever recovered from the Akedas Yitzchak? He never recovered. It would follow him for the rest of his life. Every one of Avram's life tests were there with him before the suffering, the anguish, the pain of what it means to go through a test, the ordeal beforehand, the test itself, and the aftermath. So Avram going through 10 tests was not 10 points on a calendar. Rather, it was a life led by test of Nisayon. To be someone who's learning in yeshiva is to understand that it's all about recognizing this is the rest of your life. This is the rest of your life will be occupied by this amazing vocation of a simcha sheyesh tuga acharav, that there's a frustration because you can never grasp all of it. but it's amazing. And when you learn to live that way, it follows you until your very last breath. The Rebbe of Charkov from the Rizhin Beyond Dynasty said, Avram davened to save Sodom. Why didn't he daven to save Egypt? Because Avram knew that the only way we become who we are is if we have to go through the Kura Barzel. We had to go through Egypt. You can't bypass this. You can't bypass this stage. You can't suddenly one day wake up and find out there's an input USB port they put in humans where they could download all the Masechtas into you. They may get to that one day. It'll be amazing. But then guess what? The Amela switches up a level to the next level, whatever's next. Memorizing all of it, knowing it cold, learning how to apply A to B, then C to D. Because it's never about, you can never skip a step when it comes to our growth. So number one, the first thing that you learn from yeshiva and stays with you forever is the grind, is that work that you put in, that figuring out that balance, that symmetry, the step-by-step work, that frustrating feeling at the end of a night when you keep going and keep going and push that one last arrow that you have left in your arsenal. Number two, the second koach that you learn and have with you in your lives from yeshiva. Torah flips back and forth a lot of times with us being avadim, ovdei Hashem, but also banim lamakum, children. And the Holy Sfarim tell us that one part of our neshama is eved, and that part of ourselves is interested in obedience, following Hashem. But the other part is a ben, a child, who can care less about obedience. The ben is interested in something else entirely. And both are holy. Moshe hits the rock and he gets mad at the people. But Hashem says to him, you needed a shift in perspective. You need to understand, you need to move from obedience over to ben. Today's generation, nobody is scared of anything anymore. We get closer to Mashiach, the neshamas only respond to dibur. No more staff. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells us, many of you have a chance to influence people over the summer. Make a difference when you come home over Pesach, whenever it is in people's lives. You have to understand, we're getting to a point in time, the Be'er Mayim Chaim, the Rebbe of Chernovitz says, we're getting to a point in time where the stick is not working anymore. And you have to learn how to talk to people, how to motivate them, how to prick them up when they're feeling down, how to encourage them, how to make them feel connected. And this brings us to the second midah that we learn, the second attribute and quality that you pick up here in yeshiva. And that is the wonderment and the love that comes through a life of learning. There's nothing like it. The sweetness of Torah. Re'ei anochi nosen lifnechem ayom bracha in klala. Says the Or HaChaim HaKadosh, today I put before you the option of bracha or klala. You're wondering, what's the sweeter path? Klala sounds good. Got a lot of good options out there. It's a fun world. What's the sweeter bracha? Sweeter path? Bracha. How do I know? It's such a great word, by the way. How do I know? Re'ei anochi. Moshe says, look at me. I live that way. I grew up there. I grew up in pagan hedonism as a child. I could tell you, you see bracha and klala in front of you. Klala looks good. They're having fun. They're smiling out there, sitting outside the club. I see them. Re'ei anochi, look at me. I lived both lives. I've seen what the other side is like. I've seen how lonely it is, how disconnected, how it's a life that is not filled with purpose. It's a life of wonderment, a life of beauty. The Torah allows you to see the world in a way that you could never see before. It says, "Lochol b'nei Yisrael hayaor b'moshav osam." It says in our parsha by Choshech that if for all b'nei Yisrael there was light in their dwelling. It says that told us Yaakov Yosef Polonoi. Why do I got to point that out? I know already that all the makas were separate for the Jews already from the beginning. Like, why are we pointing that out now? He says it's something more. He says Moshe went above the sky to bring a pocket of Torah and tefillah. And for the Egyptians, that was darkness. For the Jews, it was light. What a beautiful teaching. That Moshe Rabbeinu brought down Torah and tefillah and said, this is the Choshech. For the Egyptians, they couldn't take it. For the Jews, it was the sweetest thing in the world. The sweetest thing in the world. I remember being in yeshiva. I just remember now when I was here in my Shana Bet year, we went to the funeral of Rav Tzvi Rum. Rav Tzvi Rum was the was one of the Rosh Yeshivas at YU, and he was in the Mir in Shanghai, and he had such a beautiful insight that they told over by the Hespedim, a beautiful chiddush of his. It says that by Esav, it says by Yishmane Aretz Yemoshevecha, from the fat of the land will be your dwelling. So there's a change in lashon between Yaakov and Esav, and Rav Ram wanted to suggest the following. He says he remembers when the Mir was displaced from Europe and were forced to go to Shanghai, the Russian aristocracy was also displaced and were forced there. He said these were the worst years of their lives. They were always drunk, they were upset, they were angry, they were depressed and miserable. He says, but for us Jews, the Mir, the group of students from the Mir who were in Shanghai, if you've ever had the schus of meeting someone who was a Jew from the Mir in Shanghai, or you've met someone and descendant from them, they'll tell you these were the sweetest years of their lives. Because for them, it wasn't Shmanei Aretz Yemoshevecha. They didn't need to be in their home for it to be a life that's pleasant and sweet. It just needs to be a life that's centered around Torah. And that's the greatest gift you could possibly have. The greatest gift in the world is a gift that's centered around Torah. The Baal Shem Tov says a great line in his, if you're starting Chassidus, there is a great question, where should you start? All right, where should I start? Nesivas Shalom is an obvious starting point. It's accessible for us. You get nice Divrei Torah in the Parsha. But if you are starting in order, perhaps you start with the Baal Shem Tov's Keter Shem Tov. In his Sefer Keter Shem Tov, which is a collection of shorter ideas from the Baal Shem Tov, he says the following, Hakol hu Elokus, all is godliness, Elokus hu Hakol. And godliness is everything. When a person fills their life with Torah, you begin to see the world in amazing color. You see everything as an extension, kivyachol, of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You see God's hand everywhere and in everything you're doing. And there's nothing like it in the way the world operates. You know, it reminds me of when Albert Einstein, they asked Albert Einstein once, what was it that turned you on to this way of thinking? And he said when he held a compass in his hand for the first time, and there was this invisible magnetic field that was driving the direction of which way he was standing, he goes, he couldn't conceptualize why something he couldn't see could do that. And for us, it's the same thing. 1,000 times over, there's an invisible driving force that is the hand behind everything in your lives that you only begin to appreciate and realize once you've opened up a Torah, once you've opened up a Gemara, once you open up a Sugya, and you go further and further in. Pasuk in Yecheskel tells us that when the Amei Aretz would come up for the Moadim, they would use different gates. Why different gates each time? Rav Yonah Sanaipshit says, so a person should never see the same gate twice. You should always keep that wonderment. You should always have your eyes wide open. The learning that you do here only stops the minute you stop seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the world. The minute you stop seeing the Yad Hashem in everything that's happening. And that's the unbelievable. That's an unbelievable thing. You know, I heard a beautiful explanation of, you know, the Eitz Hadas Tovara. Why was it a big deal? You read the Rambam and you understand that the whole purpose of life is to achieve Das, knowledge. Here it is, right at the beginning. There it is. The whole purpose of life is there, ready to meet Adam and Chava at the outset. And it was a problem. Why was it a problem? So I heard it explained in the following way from Moshe Lichtenstein. It was knowing too much too soon. See, when you have knowledge without experience, there is nothing more dangerous. When you have knowledge without experience, nothing more dangerous. What's going to happen now is you collected all this learning and year after year you're going to start experiencing life and then you're going to look back at the learning and it's all going to mean something else. All of a sudden you're going to see things. You know, I made a commitment to myself. I'm going to review 2 achronim on the Chumash a year. I'm going to underline my favorite Divrei Torah and this way I'll have it ready to go whenever I have a parsha or something. It's a good plan. Great plan. I have the best of on everybody. Netziv, Meshach Chachma, this, that. Here is the worst idea. I'll tell you why. A couple of years ago, someone sent over a beautiful Dvar Torah from the Emek Dover. And I went back to look at the Emek Dover, the Netziv, and I was like, this is such amazing Dvar Torah. How did I not see this? How did I not? I must have underlined it. I looked back at my Emek Dover that's underlined, and I didn't underline it. So what happened that day? Did I not understand it? Did I zone out? You know what happened? It's not until you go through something in life and something hits you that you then look back and say, aha, that's what he's talking about. It's truth with Midrashim, by the way. Midrashim, we saw them as little kids, so it's hard for us to get out of that mindset. But once you start living life and things start happening to you over and over, then you look back at the Midrashim and say, it was brilliant. It was genius. It was talking to me all these years. I didn't yet experience it yet, so I didn't know to find it. But now that I've experienced, I can go back and find it. And Torah keeps that wonderment for you for the rest of your life. Sometimes having that knowledge before the experience is not a good thing. And you're going to have to take your Torah with you out into the battlefield of life. Rav Yitzchak Twersky, the one who was around the rehab center in Milwaukee, says that's why the king has two Sifrei Torah with him. Why? One he takes out into the battlefield. But sometimes when you bring your Torah out into the battlefield of life, it gets smudged. And you got to go from time to time and come back to this Torah that you had in yeshiva and check it off that and make sure your values have not changed. Because slowly your values begin to change. The things that you see as important and chashuv, you begin to lose them. You begin to lose that focus. I want to get to number three. So we're getting closer. We're getting close to the end here. The third idea that I want to share with you. So the first was the grind. The second is the wonderment and the love and the awesomeness that comes with Torah and a life filled with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is nothing like it in the world. But now we come to number three. So much I'm skipping here. All right, who knew? There's a lot of talk these days. I love this kind of stuff. You know, it doesn't for me. Here, I'll start with this. This comes from the Lakutei Sichas Musar, which is by Rav Yitzchak Sher. He says, why does the Torah even talk about Gan Eden if it's not shayach to any of us? It's going to be, Torah doesn't deal with afterlife. That's another discussion. Like, Torah doesn't deal with afterlife. So why is Gan Eden there in the Torah? Why is Gan Eden there? Says Rav Yitzchak Sher in the Leket Sichas Musar, because your job as a Jew is to make this world heaven for everyone. Your job is to make this world Gan Eden for somebody else. Somebody who's struggling, somebody who is suffering, somebody who's going through pain. Your job is to make this world a little bit of Gan Eden for them. That's your tafkid. And that brings us to the third. The third level is that these years in yeshiva, this time that you have learning, is where you learn to see beyond what you normally would have seen. You see another layer of reality that you never would have crossed paths with, that you never would have touched. And that's why I say the first entrance into the multiverse is in yeshiva. Right? Dublin, 1952, Erwin Schrödinger. So he's the one who stumbled on this idea or expressed it first, that there's a multiverse out there. This is not the only world we're in. And the Midrashim talk about multiple opinions on the age of the Akedah of Yitzchak. And some of the Mefarshim on the Medrash say that how do you have Elu ve'Elu? Rav Hutner says like this. How do you have Elu ve'Elu? It's a multiverse. Meaning the world that came in front of us is the world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says is the world of the reality. The other opinion that was not accepted, I understand how you could have a machlokis on something that's let's take a machlokis though, a metzias, whether something happened or not. Mishkan either was this wide or not that wide. Someone's right, someone's wrong. So Rav Hutner says, no, that's not correct. Tosfos in Ksuvos is a little different, but Rav Hutner says it's not, they're both right. One is right in the reality that's in front of you. One is right in the reality that you do not see. That's multiverse to me. He's not saying the same words, but that to me, Pashut, is multiverse. What do I care? The point is like this. The Torah opens your eyes to see things that you normally never would have seen. Never would have seen. There's a lot of talk, a lot of literature out there about near-death experiences. Near-death experiences. 1876 at the Royal College of Science in Dublin, Ireland. They met to discuss what are people seeing in these near-death experiences. Does Judaism have that? Medrash end of Naso. Rabbi Dosa says, Ki lo yiru'uni adam v'chai. That a person should not see me and live, says Rabbi Dosa, chutz mishas mitosan, except at the moment when a person is dying. You see things normally that you normally would not have been able to see. Rav Shneur Zalman of Liadi, as he was on his deathbed, they asked them, Rebbe, what do you see? He says, I no longer see the beam that was above my head. What do you see there now? I see kuf vav resh hey, the letters of a beam. He realized the code of the world was all Hebrew letters. He cracked the matrix. He saw beyond. The Rebbe saw beyond what was in front of him. That's what Torah does. Torah, Yerushalayim, a life of Avodas Hashem, opens your eyes to see things you normally would never have seen. Normally would never have seen or not been able to see. We're coming towards the end. I'll tell you an ishpitzer that's going to blow you away. December 27th, 2002, Friday night meal at the Otniel Yeshiva. Students were dancing in the main hall, singing Hodu LaHashem Ki Tov as terrorists stormed the kitchen. They murdered four students who were on duty there. Noam Apter, Yehuda Bamberger, Gavriel Hotzer and Svi Zeman. The contrast between the words of the song and what occurred could not be more stark. And even still at the memorial services, the fathers danced together and sang Hodu LaHashem Ki Tov. Where did they draw the strength to be able to sing this? So I saw that Rav Ganak draws from the Ishbitzer to answer this. The Ishbitzer says the following. The Gemara tells us there's a machlokas Beis Shammai Beis Hillel, whether, you know, in philosophy it's called neonatalists. Neonatalists are those who say it's better that you were never born. Better you were never born. Better that no one gives birth to anybody. It's a real philosophy out there. But it's not so crazy. It's a Gemara. Noach lo la'adam shelo nivra. Maybe it's better that a person who's not been born, but now that he's here, it's a machlokas. Noach lo la'adam shelo nivra, says the Ishbitzer pshat in the Gemara in Erevin 13b. You know what it means, Noach lo la'adam shelo nivra? Not whether tov la'adam shelo nivra, good that you were born or not born. Noach, is it pleasant for a person to be born? We paskin, it's not Noach. It's not pleasant for a person to be born. But good? It is good. It is good that you're born. With this Ishbitzer, we understand. Why did these four children not make it away with the other members of the yeshiva? Because when the four boys saw what had happened, they were on kitchen duty. And they slammed shut the door of the kitchen so the terrorists could not get by and thereby save the rest of the kids in the yeshiva. That's a life that is not Noach, may not be easy, but it's tov. But it's good that they were created. It's good that we're here. It's good because there's mitzvahs and there's mice and tovim. And there's an amazing world of things that you could do and see beyond and make a difference that echoes all the way in eternity. Let's come back around now to the Rebbe. The Rebbe of Piazetzna. Yeser dvareinu al ze lo zacher. I don't remember the rest of my words on this. Why Paro hard-hardened and he's being tested. What's a test when your heart is hardened? It was very difficult for the Rebbe at the end. You know, the Rebbe has another piece where he says on Malachi, right? The Gemara in Chagiga says that a person should seek out a Rebbe who's like a Malach of Hashem. So the Rebbe of Piazetzna says on that, well, yeah, Vakasha on that, because the Gemara Mod Cotton says, Rav Yehuda Bar Ilai, Erev Shabbos was like a Malach of Hashem when they would set up everything for Shabbos. That means the whole week he wasn't. So how'd they go to him the whole week? How'd they ask him questions the whole week? So says the Rebbe, that's the Vort, right? Yivakish Torah Mepihu. When a Rebbe is at times like a Malach, in the times that he's not, go to him. Draw it out of him by asking him questions. Sounds like the Rebbe of Piazetzna was speaking autobiographically. It's by the end of the war. I have nothing left. I can't even find Mal Talmidim anymore. Somebody draw it out of me. Bring out the Malach that was in me that I remember days before the war started. So the Rebbe of Piazetzna didn't remember his answer. So I said, maybe I could help the Rebbe find his answer. So I looked at the Rebbe's Sefer Derech HaMelech. I checked at Parshas Bo. Guess what? He skips Parshas Bo. There's no Dvar Torah there. So I said, we may never know what the Rebbe wanted to say. I started a chabur in Los Angeles called Bnei Machshava Tova. And all of a sudden, page 45 of Bnei Machshava Tova. Hanisayon apashut hulanu, sheyisbonen kol echad esatzmo. Simple nisayon that everybody has is to look inward. And says the beginning of our avoda and our machshava is nuchal likvotz kvitza me'al gufenu, is that Hashem gave us the koach to transcend our guf, to recognize the situation we're in and say, I could leap above that. I'm not confined by the space that I'm in right now. I can emerge from that. By the way, this was the great discovery years later of Viktor Frankl in Man's Search for Meaning in the Holocaust, the father of logotherapy. He discovered that a person, no matter what the Nazis did to him, they cannot take away his ability to recognize that in my mind, I'm free. The Rebbe wrote this years before. That was the Nisayan that Paro was being given. Your heart is hardened, but a human has the ability to transcend whatever they're going through. And that's what you have in yeshiva. It takes work. There's going to be a grind for sure. But you have the ability to see the world in amazing colors. You have a wonderment to how you see everything now. Right? There's a line from, not Piaget, from the other, I forgot which other psychologist, that for the person who's a carpenter, everywhere he looks is a nail. Flip it around. For a person whose world is Hanukkah, everywhere he sees is light. Everywhere he sees is light. That's the Koach HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us, to see wonderment, to see an amazing world, to see opportunity, and to be able to transcend and see beyond our limits. You think you cannot do this? You can't believe what you're capable of. You think you've hit your capacity? You can't somebody in this room is going to start something, some organization, that's going to change people's lives. And it's not going to be the person we expected. Somebody here is going to be finishing learning, finishing siyumim, finishing shas, making you know, really tremendous strides in learning of what we could never have imagined before. That's the koach. That's nisayon hapashid. She is bonin kol echad es atzmo. That a person nochol likvatz kvitza achas malagufenu. You are not confined by the limitations that you think you have, because most of the things you can't do, really, in many ways, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you jump onto my program. I'm going to show you that you're able to. I thank you so much for all this tonight, Yashar Koach, and may we continue to grow, go mechayel lechayel, and take advantage of every minute that you have here, because you don't know how it's going to change your life until later on.